Tobin and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving 1025, 1063. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Caroline Fenton is here today. Hello, Caroline.
Hello, how we doing?
Outstanding. Ian is here today. Hello, Ian.
Hello, hello. What up, what up?
So, I want to start on this, which is why I love the NFL. You know, there have been 17 programs that are the top 17 programs this year in terms of television. 17 programs this year. All the, and I don't know what the new shows are nowadays. You know, I guess
Young
I don't watch.
Sheldon.
Young Sheldon, Bob Hart's Abishola, The
NCIS.
Simpsons, all of them. Law and Order Special Victims Unit, Law and Order
one.
Criminal Justice,
bung, bung.
Law and Order, whatever. Guess what? Hey, Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel. Guess what the top 17 rated programs are in America right now?
Football games.
What kind of football?
NFL.
Bingo. The top 17 programs this year. NFL, 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 all the way to 17. So the NFL is
treated... 18?
I don't know.
Young Sheldon.
Is the Big Bang Theory still on? Probably that.
Probably.
So, the NFL is the most popular sport in America. And we know that. There's nothing new. I'm not telling you that you don't know. But the way people feel about the NFL this time of year, it's my favorite. Jacksonville is awesome this year. Maybe. Last week, people were wondering if the New York Giants were back and if Daniel Jones was the dude. They lose one game in which, in the fourth quarter, his knee explodes on the turf. And it's like, Daniel Jones stinks. Giants stink. Time to move on. It's over. That's the way it is. And I love it. Because every year, every team either starts up. Every year, there's a team that starts out really hot, and then they fade. And then there's a team that starts the year, I don't know, 2-4, like the 2019 Tennessee Titans, and they end up in the AFC Championship game. It happens every year. Nobody thought after 3 weeks last year that the Cincinnati Bengals were going to the Super Bowl. Nobody. And so I take a look at the Titans. They're 1-2. I think we can all agree that the Titans are not a very good football team right now. Is that fair?
I think that's fair.
Ian?
I'm sorry, I missed it.
Are the Titans a good football team, yes or no?
I'm not convinced they are very good yet, no.
Okay. And I would agree. But that doesn't mean for everybody out there that the Titans, stay with me here, can get better. Now, 0-3 is 0-3. Like, I'm sorry, Raiders. I'm sorry, Texans, who are 0-2-1. But 0-3 is 0-3. 0-3 is, for the most part, a death sentence. Hate to say it for the Raiders, but it pretty much is. And if it were 0-3, then you would have heard the mourner's kaddish for the Tennessee Titans after that Raiders performance. But it's not. They're 1-2. And I was looking it up today. Mike Vrabel has been the coach of the Titans for four full seasons. This is his fifth. He's made the playoffs 3 years. He started 2-1 in 2018, didn't make the playoffs. He started 3-0 in 2020. They made the playoffs, lost in the wild card round. He started 2-1 last year, number one seed in the AFC. The only year that Mike Vrabel has started 1-2 other than this year was 2019. That team was a mess. And they ended up in the AFC Championship game. So to say that the Titans can't get better, the Titans have a lot of problems right now. The Titans' offensive line, kind of a question mark. The Titans have not had one receiver that has asserted himself as a trustable, dependable guy. They're getting almost nothing out of the tight end game other than Jeff Swaim, which is another problem in and of itself. They struggle rushing the passer. Right now they're having coverage issues, which I blame on the struggling of rushing the passer. And their middle linebackers aren't tackling very well. Also, their kicker missed a game-winning kick. Other than that, it's all great. But can they get better? So let's go around the room. Can the Titans, do you believe in the Titans, a team that has traditionally under this coach gotten better, as the season has gone on, do you believe that this football team can get better? Do they have the players to get better? Do they have the coaching to get better? Do we think the Titans, just like they did in 2019, when they got better, do you think that the Titans can get better this year?
Absolutely. I think there's plenty of young players on this team that can get better week after week after week. And I think that this is a coaching staff that's equipped to make this a better team throughout the season. Now, I'm not saying that they are absolutely positively going to get better, but I absolutely think that that's a possibility.
Ian, do you think this team is going to get better throughout the course of this year?
I do probably think they will get better. Yeah. I just, you know, the ceiling has gone down, on in my opinion, just based on the players that they've lost, mostly Landry and Lawan. Mm-hmm. And so without those players, their ceiling is going to be limited. Even if they do get better, I still don't think it's going to be good enough to really make a huge impact in the AFC playoffs.
So this is going to sound crazy. I don't really care that much about Lawan. And you guys have seen me when Harold Landry got hurt, I cried like a baby on this radio program. And you guys know me. If there's something that happens, I try to kind of keep it real. And Taylor Lawan, I think he was playing below average left tackle last season. And I think that Dennis Daly is going to play a worse left tackle, but not the end of the world left tackle. I think it'll be fine. Won't be great, but I think it'll be fine. I mean, Lawan played one game, and people were ripping him for his performance in the one game that he played. It was fine. Dennis Daly, I think, will probably be fine.
I think this team is also pretty used to coping without Taylor Lawan.
Right. Somebody's going to get hurt on probably every team. You know, one of the impact players is going to get hurt one way or another. I'm conflicted. I do think they will get better. Nicholas Petit-Ferrer is already getting better. I mean, he still had that penalty the other day where he ran 10 yards up the field for whatever reason. But he's getting better. And I think that what was a big concern about, could he play right tackle in the NFL? I'm not going to say that that's completely solved, because they're doing a lot to try to help him out. But he's getting better, and he'll get better. I think Treylon Burks is getting better. And boy, do they need Treylon Burks to get better, because they need Treylon Burks. I think Derrick Henry will be fine. I think Ryan Tannehill's playing well. The one thing that I have a hard time with about wondering, there's two things that are kind of keeping me from going there. One is the pass rush. I think what the Titans are going to have to do, what they did Sunday, and it worked, kind of, is they really smoke and mirrored it. And they're going to do that this week against the Colts. I don't know if Bud Dupree is going to play or not. I saw TD posted a video talking to Bud Dupree in the locker room, which makes me think that Bud Dupree might practice. We'll know when the practice report comes out. If Bud Dupree does practice, that's a big deal. But if they're going to try to move Autry outside this whole season, well, now you just took your 9-sack guy to replace your 12-sack guy, and you probably made your 9-sack guy worse at what he does, and you're taking your 8-sack mamma jamma big old tackle in there, and you're probably making him worse because he's not next to Autry. So it's a lot of moving parts that I don't like. Pass rush is number one. Number two is the offensive coordinator. I mean, I'm not saying to fire the offensive coordinator, but I don't have a lot of confidence in this offensive coordinator. And I don't know why I should have a lot of confidence in this offensive coordinator. The offense didn't get better throughout the course of last year. They've started the season this year with just a lot of questionable stuff. And so I trust the head coach, and I think that they will drill it out and rep it out. And last week, when every single person called and texted and cried about the offensive line, and I said, look, Keith Carter has 3 years in which we look at the offensive line in September, and we always say, oh my goodness, this is a mess. What are they going to do? And every year, everybody comes back and points a finger at me in December and says, what do you think about Keith Carter now? So I'm not going to get on Keith Carter. But the offensive coordinator has not earned that level of trust with me. And I think it's fair. The offense has to make some adjustments. Whatever's going on at halftime for this team is an unmitigated disaster. The fact that this team goes in at halftime and comes out and can't score a point. I mean, it's awful. And I kind of think that they have good enough players on offense. They don't have A.J. Brown anymore, but Burks is good, Woods is good, Henry's good. Hilliard has a great role for him. I'm not convinced Hooper is as bad as they think he is. And they have good enough players to score a point in the second half.
But they've proved that they can be good in the first half. So they just can't continue in the second half. And that's a completely different issue beyond, you know, is this team good? Does this team have good personnel? Because they showed they can be good.
So I've got 1 year and 3 games worth of data on this coordinator. And I think it's fair to say the offense regressed throughout last season. And the offense is yet to make those kind of adjustments right now. So I have trust in the head coach. I have trust in the line coach. even Shane Bowen, who, you know, I guess was theoretically in charge of the defense in 2020 when they were horrendous, you know, even he has shown the ability to adjust some. But pass rush and coordinator on offense are the two things that are keeping me from feeling confident in saying that this team will, in fact, improve. Because as I said last week, and I will contend this week, 2-2 is right on schedule. If they win against the Colts and they've got two AFC wins, including a divisional win at 2-2, I don't care what Jacksonville does against Philadelphia. Even if Jacksonville is 3-1, 2-2 is right on schedule. And then I think that a lot of us can feel, you know, a lot better about the season than we did last week. But at the same time, I think a lot's riding on this coordinator. At least for me, my faith in this team, taking themselves from not a good team, which they are right now, they are not a good football team, and becoming a good football team rides a lot on whether or not they can figure out the pass rush and the coordinator can get it together on offense. Now, I'm not convinced that the Titans are score every drive like they were in the first half on Sunday against the Raiders, but I am convinced that they can move the ball down the field even without A.J. Brown, because they did it in the first half against the Giants, and they did it in the first half against the Raiders, and honestly, they did it in the first half against Buffalo. Like, it wasn't like the offense was completely inept against the Bills in the first half.
Especially that first drive. I mean, they were moving the ball so well.
They got the ball to the 30-yard line of Buffalo on the second drive, I believe, when Ben Jones got called for the face mask. Now, again, Buffalo's different animal. But I don't think this offense, I don't think it's like A.J. Brown out offense stinks. Because they don't stink in the first half. So then the question has to be this. Because I don't sense any pushback on the downing element of this. Is Vrabel going to be able to get Downing to be a better coach? To where we can trust that the offense will improve, because the head coach, who has found a way to improve every year throughout the course of the year, will get the offensive coach to improve.
And that's assuming that the second half problems, issues, are on Todd Downing. Because I don't think it's exclusively a play calling problem.
You don't?
No.
See, I do.
A only play calling?
Yeah.
I think it's a coaching staff problem, and play calling is involved in that, but I don't think I can solely look at play calling and say, that's the reason why this team can go out there and look like a freaking Super Bowl caliber, and I'm exaggerating, in the first half, and then they get outscored so far in three games 57-7 in the second half.
I mean, what else would it be?
I don't know.
Like, what else would it be? The players don't get worse at halftime, do they?
And that's what I don't understand. You don't lose talent in 30 minutes at halftime. So is it, you know, they're just uninspired at halftime? Do they feel like they can kick their legs up at halftime? And then in the fourth quarter, whenever the game gets close, they're like, oh, shoot, we need to get our stuff together? I don't know.
The Giants game,
yes. That's on the
coaching
staff.
But not Buffalo. Nobody was kicking feet up at Buffalo.
And against the Raiders, they did.
I don't think they did. I do not think that team went in the locker room, thought that Raider team sucks, we're going to win this game. I think they went in there against the Giants.
They certainly did it against the Giants. But why don't you think it against the Raiders?
Because I think they took the Raiders seriously. I mean, any team that's got Davante Adams, I feel like I would take seriously. I thought the personnel groupings in the second half, I thought the coaching on offense was horrendous in the second half of that. I thought the coaching in general of the Titans was horrendous in the second half of that Raider game. You know, Vrabel going for it here, not going for it there.
That was dumb.
Downing, you know.
Then that's not on Downing.
First play of the second half. Let's bring out the jumbo package. Bring out Torrey Carter. I thought it was a horribly coached second half. Let's go over it. Let's just look at it, because I got all the film, whatever, in front of me right here of these games. Because Tannehill said something interesting today about the second halves of games, too. So we'll get to that coming up. But we'll look. Because that, to me, is the one thing. The offensive coaching. That's it. If the offensive coaching is actually good, like Vrabel pretends that it is or acts like it is, which I think we can all say that this Raider game has affected me as far as Todd Downing is concerned.
Yes, it has.
I mean, this was
one for
me. I'm
not going to say you've done a complete 180 on Downing, but you're moving there.
Oh, my. I'm sorry. Like,
you did a 90 degrees on Downing.
I sat there at that game, and I thought, you fans are right. You know, I've told you fans to calm down a little bit on this offensive coordinator. You fans are onto something here. 615-737-1025. We'll get your thoughts in it as well. Stillman & Company right here, 1025, 106 through the game.
Ryan, got the strong start to the game on Sunday. What's the challenge now in carrying it through halftime and being more productive and staying on the field longer in the second half?
Yeah, no doubt. We got to come out and execute better in the second half. Like you said, we did some good things in the first half and really didn't do nearly as many good things in the second half. And it wasn't a drop-off in focus or urgency. I didn't feel like we just missed some opportunities on making some plays. So just have to clean those little things up and be able to come out and carry that momentum through halftime into the second half.
There you go. That was Tannehill today. And so not that Tannehill was going to say, like, you know, the problem is the coaches aren't making adjustments at halftime and the other coaches are making adjustments at halftime. But Tannehill says just clean up a couple things here and there and halftime will be fine. Do you agree with that?
I don't fully disagree with that.
So I pulled up my breakdowns of these second halves, like where, you know, third quarter here, I got the third quarter of the Bills game in this hand. I got the third quarter of the Giants game in this hand. And I got the third quarter of the Raider game in this hand. Let's just go through my notes of the offensive plays. Cause for the most part, defense has been fine in the second half, right? They totally took a smoke break of the Giants game. I thought they gave the Raiders all they could on defense in that second half. The fact that the Raiders, with those players that they had on defense or on offense, only scored 22 points is an indictment of
the Raiders.
And
the fact that Devontae Adams had, what, 30-something yards?
An indictment of the Raiders. I don't care what scheme Vrabel was running. I mean, an indictment of what they were trying to do. So let's go to the third quarter. Let's say Bills. So the first series, the Titans go 3 and out. And in my notes, the first pass, Tannehill incomplete to Austin Hooper. And I wrote, got to be caught, not the play call there. The second one, Tannehill gained 17 yards. Good play call. They run Henry, they gain 4. They run Henry, they lose 1 because Nicholas Petit-Ferrer doesn't block his guy.
Oh, yeah. I have on my notes, Aaron Brewer. That was the wrong one. My bad.
So now the Titans are down 24-7 after they punt. And the Titans, bad throw by Tannehill. Brewer gets knocked on his butt. Tannehill gets hit. Now the game's starting to get out of hand in the Buffalo game. I'm not going to blame coaching for the second half of the Buffalo game as I look at this. Yeah, I don't. This wasn't coaching in that. So I'm not going to blame coaching for that one. Giants game, first series, third quarter. Titans go 3 and out, including the Derrick Henry direct snap, in which I write, this might be the stupidest play of the game because Tannehill was running. As we went over, if a quarterback stands in his spot in the Wildcat at receiver, he can't be hit. Mm-hmm. If a quarterback runs,
it's open season.
They can knock the quarterback, and I thought that that was dumb. Second series on offense for the Titans was a 3 and out where they decided to hand the ball to Hilliard on first down and second down, and Tannehill threw incomplete on 3rd and 2 to Hilliard. I didn't write bad play call, but make of that what you will. The next series is a touchdown from Todd Downing. So, didn't seem to be much of an issue there as they scored on the third series. And then they got into the fourth quarter. They muffed a punt, not coaching. They get in there. Up. Here you go. The Okonkwo play on 3rd and 1.
Oh.
So, that is coaching. So, we got one series that's definitely coaching. Another series that's definitely coaching. A series that's definitely not coaching, a series in which Dontrell Hilliard got carries instead of Derrick Henry, which might be coaching.
That's coaching.
Feels kind of like coaching. The muffed punt, which is coaching, but not that coach's coaching. That's special teams. Get on them, not on anything else.
Still coaching, but not Todd Downing.
And then the two-minute drill, where they moved it down the field, mm-hmm. and then Vrabel, for whatever reason, decided that they wanted to set up a 47-yard kick with a kicker who's not guaranteed to hit from 45-plus. So that's coaching, but that's not Downing coaching. So I'd say, I don't know, C for Todd Downing in the second half of the Giants game. I mean, some of it he definitely screwed up on. Some of it he definitely didn't screw up on.
I mean, the Chigakonkwo play was
pretty bad.
Pretty bad.
The Raiders.
What was the Wildcat? Was it in the first half or the second half?
Second half. That was the first, 3rd and 1 of the, yes.
I would say those were the two worst play calls of the season.
You think that was worse than the Titans at 1st and 10 at the 25-yard line last week, up 24-13 against the Raiders, running Derrick Henry up the middle for no gain with an offensive, with 5 eligible receivers that were Swaim, Kevin Rader, Cody Hollister, Torrey Carter, and Derrick Henry.
That's pretty bad. And the fourth and four is pretty bad, too. Just going for it. The play call wasn't bad, but going for it was bad.
The Titans ran that whatever you want to call it play where they brought Hollister in the game, and Max Crosby didn't bite on it, whether it was a screen or a naked boot or whatever it was.
Right.
And Petit Ferrer and Ben Jones ran 10 yards up the field. I mean, thanks for putting Hollister out there. The Tannehill interception I thought was a bad call because it didn't give Tannehill a safety to throw the ball to, and you knew that that team was going to come with pressure. The second offensive series, the Titans were in around the goal line, and they hit the big play to Hilliard. And after they hit the big play to Hilliard, that was where they went for it on fourth and four. Here's what bothers me, though. Here's where I'm going to blame coaching. Because the fourth and four play was not necessarily a bad play.
The play was fine. It was the idea of going for it at fourth and four that made me angry.
Which is more of a Vrabel thing than
it is a Downing. That's not a Downing thing.
But third and one at the Vegas 41, Derrick Henry loses 3 yards. Here's who was in on that play. Hollister, Swaim, Okonkwo, Hooper, and Henry. The Raiders sold out for the run. Because of that group sitting.
Because it was obvious.
There's not a single pass catcher outside of maybe Hooper that's out there. And so that third and one play call, the fact that the Titans, for whatever reason, against Cincinnati, could not convert third and ones and fourth and ones, against the Giants, could not convert third and ones, and against the Raiders, could not convert third and ones, you have to blame the coach. You have to blame the coach. So I'm putting that on Downing. So the first series on Downing, the second series on Downing. The third series, the Titans. At this point, I believe they're leading the game 24-13. So what's that, 11? So 11 with 9:22 to go. Tannehill. Okay, Byard intercepts the ball in the end zone. Mm-hmm. Tannehill incomplete. They run Derrick Henry to game two. It's 3rd and 8. They end up hitting Westbrook Akina on a good, 15-yard gainer. 7:50 to go in the game. 1st and 10 at the Tennessee 37. In comes Hollister, Hooper, Swaim, Josh Gordon, and Henry.
And interestingly enough, how many yards did they gain on that play?
1 yard.
One.
1 whole yard. Bring out the jumbo package on 1st and 10 with 7 minutes to go in the game because we are definitely running it. 1 yard. Next play. Tannehill throws incomplete to Derrick Henry. And this is another screen. The Titans threw a screen early in the game. It worked. In the same series, the first series, they tried to throw another screen. At which point, I wrote in my notes, the Raiders are on to the screen game. At this point, with 10-11 to go in the first quarter, I said they're on to the screen game. And in the fourth quarter, the Titans tried to throw two more, one which ended up in a Tannehill fumble, the other one which was the incompletion to Henry and a screen and essentially stops the clock. The next play was the one where Austin Hooper ran 8 yards instead of 9 on 3rd and 9. Whose fault's that? I don't know.
Whoever's fault it was is dumb.
Okay, so now the Raiders get the ball back. Raiders kick a field goal, so now it's 24-16. Titans, 4-minute offense. 4-minute offense. They get the ball. Raiders have 2 timeouts in the 4-minute offense, and the Titans, with 3:29 to go, kill exactly 20 seconds off the clock before Stonehouse has to punt the ball. 20 seconds in the 4-minute offense. First play, 1st and 10, Tennessee 25. Hollister, Carter, Westbrook Akine, Hooper, and Henry. Predictable.
Defense.
It's predictable.
We are running the ball.
Second play, the screen pass where we don't know who they were setting up the screen for. We think Swaim, in which Nick Westbrook Akine recovers a fumble because he was assigned to Max Crosby. Dumb.
Why?
Now, they did run the ball up the middle for Dontrell Hilliard, and Nate Davis got called for holding, which stopped the clock. But so this game was definitely coaching. So you got 3 games in the second half for why they can't. Yeah, that second half was absolutely coaching. And that's what we're talking about here, is why the second halves are such a nightmare offensively. The first game against the Giants offensively, kind of 50-50. Coaching, not coaching. The second game against the Bills, probably coaching didn't really have much to do with it. The third game against the Raiders, coaching was definitely a part of it, if not the number one culprit. And the predictability of running Cody Hollister and crew out there on obvious running situations and the jumbo package with Torrey Carter, a fullback who can't block. And I understand one thing, which I don't like about the Titans, but I get it, which is apparently they don't care about practice. They're one of these organizations. They're the Joe Rexroad of organizations, where whatever happens in practice just doesn't count because it's practice. So they watch Torrey Carter.
Vrabel loves practice.
I don't think they do. So they watch Torrey Carter, and they say, okay, this is our fullback. Well, I feel like it is well established now that Torrey Carter can't block. So what do they need to do? They need to stop playing Torrey Carter. They love Cody Hollister as a run blocker. So what do? They keep running Cody Hollister out there.
Even though he cannot run block.
They average, according to my stats from yesterday, they average with Derrick Henry 1.75 yards per carry when Hollister's in the game, and they average 6.25 when Hollister's out of the game with Derrick Henry against the Raiders. Well, but they just keep doing it. And that's when I talk about this team improving and getting better throughout the course of the year. Part of that is the things that they thought that they could do, they need to stop doing. Some of them they already have on defense. They decided, we're not putting Weaver out there to rush the passer on every play because he can't do it. So we're going to rotate him in there, and we're going to play more Kevin Strong, and we're going to play more DeMarcus Walker, and we're going to move around Jeffrey Simmons, and we're going to play Autry outside, but we're not putting Weaver out there to play 90% of the snaps like we used to with Harold Landry. We're not putting Caleb Farley out there because he's no good. And then on offense, it's like, well, we're just going to keep running Hollister out there because you don't understand. And that's where I'm like, if this team's going to get better, it's taking those things out of it. It's improving the young guys that they have. Petit Ferrer, Burks, Westbrook Akine, the tight ends. It's doing that and then taking the guys who literally can't play and stopping this idea of let's leave Jeff Swaim responsible for Chandler Jones on this play or leave him responsible for Von Miller on this play. Because I've tried that and it doesn't work. 615-737-1025. I'm sure we got a lot of phones on this.
Yes, we do.
I'm sure. 615-737-1025 here on the program. We will get to those as well. And again, just if this team can improve and if the offensive coaching is there. And I, you know, it's funny because I didn't really gripe too much about Downing after the Giants game. I mean, there were things I didn't like. I had his back after the Bills game. And I mean, I'm pretty disappointed after the Raider game. And it's funny looking at the notes. It's like, oh, you know, the Bills game coaching, not really the Raiders game. I felt like coaching was a real problem. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to get in. Join Big Joe Dubin and Elijah Campbell this Friday for the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz presented by National Playmakers Academy from 6 to midnight. They'll preview the big games, and then they'll take you through the night of high school football around the mid-state. It's the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz presented by National Playmakers Academy on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
You look back at the tape from the offensive standpoint. Very happy with what you saw in the first half, and then second half, I know you only had four possessions. What are some things you could clean up there to maybe to help moving forward?
Well, making sure, you know, we had the turnover, which was, you know, unfortunate. And I think some of the gains and the runs that we had, you know, in the first half, you know, probably weren't there, you know, for, you know, whether it's one guy here or our pressure. But we had some opportunities. You know, felt like we could have got the screen going again. We had success with that in the first half.
We thought we had some success with the screen, so we tried to run it two more times, and it didn't work.
And we did not find success.
And we did not find success. By the way, that cut, Ian, how long was the actual answer from Vrabel on that? Because he, at some point, just starts rambling about everything.
With the question and answer is 1:53.
Whoa.
I mean, he just starts rambling about everything.
For a notorious non-rambler,
yes,
who likes to just say one succinct sentence and get on with it, shocking.
Do we have that full cut, the whole 1:53?
Sure.
Seconds?
Yeah.
I did promise your phones, and so I'll get right to them after this. I may stop this if it just – here's some of the rambling.
You look back at the tape from the offensive standpoint – very happy with what you saw in the first half, and then second half, I know you only had four possessions. What are some things you could clean up there to maybe to help moving forward?
Well, making sure, you know, we had the turnover, which
blame
was
the quarterback,
you know,
first.
Unfortunate. You know, I think some of the gains and the runs that we had, you know, in the first half
with Burks on the
know,
field,
probably
Hollister.
Weren't there. You know, for you know, whether it's one guy here or our pressure. But we had some opportunities. You know, felt like we could have got the screen going again. We had success with that in the first half. Wasn't able to get Nate out, you know, for obvious reasons. If you watch, you know, how they played him.
He basically said on the coaching show, the TV show,
and the conversions. You know, we had some really cool third down conversions in the first half and weren't able to get it, you know, third and one. You know, we didn't get many people blocked on that one. You know, and then just really just making sure that, you know, we're better in 4 minutes there at the end. I thought the way that we finished the first half was three critical points when you look at defensively getting a stop, stopping the clock, 20-yard return. You know, Caleb Farley did a nice job of getting to the second level. Robert does what we ask every returner to do is make the first guy miss. He did a fantastic job with that. 21 yards in midfield, 21 seconds, you know, the two timeouts. You know, Nick sitting down, catching a contested pass, Ryan being decisive with it, you know, and then getting the extra yards that we needed and Randy coming through with a big kick. So those were three critical points. You know, I think we all just have to, you know, make a few more plays offensively and defensively and in special teams in the second half there. We had opportunities in all three phases.
I mean, it was really just a rambling train of thought.
Like, it sounds like to me he's just been sitting on that for so long and he just needed an opportunity to get out every single thought.
He wanted a bitch.
Yeah.
That's what I think it was. And he wanted to talk about the end of the first half because he didn't want to be all negative. So he wanted to throw something positive in there.
He wanted to talk about the interception.
But my goodness. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Michael is up first here on the program. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I noticed this in the Raiders game and the Giants game, but it feels like we got up 13-0 against the Giants and 24-10 against the Raiders. It almost feels like they're just coaching to not lose. And when you try to coach to not lose or play to not lose a game, you're more than likely not going to have the success you want unless you're just obviously the way better team like Buffalo was and we are. We're not a type of team that can just rely on the raw talent we have to just go out and, like you said before, kick our feet up and just let coast until the clock hits 00. But it feels like, I don't think it's the players specifically, but the coaches feels like they're coaching to not lose.
So I can't say that when they went for it on 4th and 4.
That's fair. But after that, like, they didn't go for it on 4th and 1.
I agree. And I thought that was ridiculous. Yeah. And I hear your point, and I appreciate your call. I don't agree with that. Like, I don't agree with that premise. Like, I don't think that
– coaching to not lose.
Right. I don't think that that's the way it feels. Like, I've been a part of basketball teams where we're beating teams that are better than us, mm-hmm. and we're, like, looking at the clock thinking, like, hey –
let's just run it out.
Right. Like there are certain hockey games – where, like, if the Predators are up 3-1 with 5 minutes to go, like, I hate to say it, Juice, but, like, you have to win now.
Yeah.
Like, you are the goalie. Do you have to win? The end.
Hold on for five
yep,
more minutes.
Yep, you got to win this game for them. Although, normally, instead of 3-1, it's really 2-1, and instead of 5 minutes, it's more like 15 minutes. But still,
and it's incredibly
you have to win them the hockey game. Like, there are some of that. But, again, the Raiders get the ball to start the second half. The Titans are up. What was the score at halftime? 24-3?
24-10.
Was it 24-10? You're probably
I think
right.
That's right.
Because they kicked the field goal. So it's 24-13. Yeah. So the Raiders take off half the clock and they kick a field goal. So it's 24-13. Titans get the ball back in the third quarter. 8 minutes gone. And the Titans roll out the jumbo package. And it's like, guys, what happened to the first half play calling when Treylon Burks was out there and there was a mix of a bunch of guys? And, you know, you didn't know if they were going to run it or pass it. Instead, it's let's bring out Hollister. Hollister had, by my count, they ran the ball. Or excuse me. By my count, Hollister had, like, I want to say 10 offensive snaps. Let's count how many offensive snaps Hollister had in the second half. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And so that's 7 offensive snaps that Cody Hollister had. So about half. Mm-hmm. And then he had the 3 kneel downs or the 2 kneel downs or whatever. So that's 9. And I think he ended up playing a total of 14. So
9 of those 14 came in the second half.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, stop doing that. Stop it. Put Burks out there. I was stunned. Treylon Burks had one catch on Sunday.
It felt like more. I don't know if it was because he dropped that fourth and four pass, and that felt like he was getting involved in the game a little bit more. But what is it with the second half? Is that we feel comfortable enough to be able to try out different things?
Talking about Downing?
Yes.
This is my theory.
Or,
and this is the same theory I have for why the Raiders lost the game on the two-point conversion.
Uh-huh.
So the Raiders realized in the second half, just throw the ball at Mac Hollins on Terrence Mitchell. Get Mac Hollins singled up with Terrence Mitchell and throw the ball. And the Titans knew that's what they were doing, and they were like, the Titans were willing to live with that. Like, the Titans decided that Davante Adams and Darren Waller were not going to beat them. And so it was going to be Mac Hollins or one of these other guys, like, who's the slot receiver? Keelan Cole. Mm-hmm. You know, him or Brandon Bolden or one of these guys, they're going to beat us. Not Waller, not Adams. So the Raiders realize that on the last drive, and they start throwing the ball to Mac Hollins. They get to the two-point conversion. They run a play with Adams and Hollins bunched up to draw the safety coverage to then try to pop it over the top to Waller. Well, the Titans had defended that play all day. So, I mean, why? Because they practiced during the week. This is the two-point conversion play we like. My guess is the Titans put in plays during the week that they like, and then they decide these are the plays we're going to run. And it's like, well, we haven't called these plays yet. Well, let's call them because we got them, so let's use them. And that does frustrate me. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Chris Sanders will get his thoughts on the Titans after they pull off their first win of the season and what he thinks about the Colts. You know, Chris is always worried about everybody in the division. What is he thinking about the Colts? We'll get into that with Chris next. Speaking of Chris, play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win for a chance at great prizes. Play now at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted the #1 sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Hey, be sure to join us for the pregame show from 9:30 to 11:30 prior to the Titans and the Colts on Sunday. The pregame show will be live at Twin Peaks out in the Cool Springs area. That's Twin Peaks and Cool Springs. Chris Sanders, Derek Mason, yours truly, the pregame show brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, and Superbook Sports, as well as Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. And Chris Sanders always has an ounce of hope, and he joins us now on the program, former Titans receiver. Man? Chris Sanders is, of course, presented by Parman Energy, now hiring fuel drivers. Visit ParmanEnergy.com. Chris, let's start with this.
Yes, sir.
How excited were you that the Titans, even though it was ugly, especially in the second half, found a way to win on Sunday against the Raiders?
I mean, you just said it perfectly. They found a way to win. It was kind of like two tails of two games because the first half they came out and dominated. Offense was great. Defense was swarming around. Guys making plays. We had a sighting of our #1 wide receiver, Woods. He made some big plays over the middle. So I was excited, but then in the second half, I got a little nervous. Because the Raiders shouldn't even actually been in the game. It ended up 24-22, but it shouldn't even been that close. So we got to do better by finishing out these games.
Chris, why is that? Because this isn't the first time that the offense has completely gone missing in the second half. They've got 7 points across three games in the second half. Something is not right for them to look the way they looked in the first half against the Raiders and then look this way. And then look that way in the first half and then look the bad way in the second half.
Yeah, it was just more conservative. I mean, and I heard you say it on the radio a couple of days ago that it started to be kind of become predictable. When I say predictable, is the formations. When you got Burks and Woods running out and then you have Hollister running out, we know that Hollister is not going to catch a pass. So they know when it's pass to run, because if you look at it in the first quarter and the second quarter, they were mixing it up. I mean, they were throwing on first down. They kept, you know, the Raiders off balance. They didn't know what was going on because of the formations and, you know, quick pass to Henry, the screens and all those great things. But then in the second half, and I say this respectfully, that they just kind of got away from it and just kind of like, okay, we're in the lead. Let's just sit on it and just relax. And that's why the Raiders had a chance to get back in this game.
Chris, what do you think this team needs more out of Treylon Burks? And what does Treylon Burks need from the team?
Man, there's pros and cons about this team, because as a receiver, you want to be put in position to actually make plays and actually get the ball early. But on the flip side of that, too, is – I think that Treylon Burks has got to create separation. I know earlier he caught one in the game. He caught one for 13, you know, and I'm like, okay, he caught the ball early. We need to get him involved even more. But then all of a sudden, he's very, very excited the whole game. So I don't really know actually what's going on. Is it the attempts he's not getting? He's not getting open. He's making the wrong reads. He's got to be involved in this game, because if you look at the Raiders, he was matched up man-to-man quite a bit. And if I'm Ryan Tanning, if I'm Todd Downing, and I'm Mike Vrabel, and I see this big joke on the outside from Arkansas, he should be able to go out there and make some big plays, because that's why we drafted him.
So you said earlier, Chris Sanders is our guest here on the program, you said earlier that you think Robert Woods is the number one wide receiver of the Titans. Why?
Absolutely, because he's a veteran. He knows exactly what to do, and he understands the technique. And as a receiver, I want to be respectful, because I don't like to put down a receiver, but I'm going to tell him this. But the thing that Treylon Burks struggles with is, I think, at the line of scrimmage. He's a big guy, and his feet are not as quick, and it's kind of hard for him to change directions. If you look at Robert Woods, even with him coming off the knee injury, he still knows how to get the defensive back off the spot. When I say get the defensive back off the spot, that means to make a move his feet, because I'm quick at the line of scrimmage. So if Treylon Burks can't do that and he goes against a big corner that's strong and physical like he is, he's going to struggle because he can't move his feet quick like a Robert Woods can.
Chris Sanders is with us. What are your thoughts on the Colts this weekend?
I don't know. It all depends on which quarterback plays the best. It's going to boil down to those two.
Okay, so I'm going to cut you off here and tell you this. I've watched the Colts play three games. I watched the Titans play three games. If it comes down to who's playing better quarterback right now, to me it's Tannehill, and I don't even think it's really all that close.
100%. I mean, Tannehill last game played outstanding, and I'm glad you cut me off, because, you know, Tannehill's been playing, you know, fantastic, especially the last game, by just, you know, sitting in the pocket making plays. But the only thing that I'm concerned about, that Matt Ryan says, you know what, we beat Kansas City. That gives me a little confidence. Now I can go out there and play some ball. So it all depends on which quarterback makes the least amount of mistakes, and also which defense doesn't give up the explosive plays.
Chris, what do you make of playing on the road in a divisional game? I am not convinced that Indy right now is a good football team.
Yeah.
But they know how big this game is.
Yeah.
We know how big this game
is.
You've played in these kind of games. How big is it, and kind of what are some of the difficulties for the Titans going to Indy?
Man, it's huge. I mean, it's a divisional game, and, you know, everybody knows to go to the playoffs, you've got to win the division. So whenever a team wins, that's just a step closer to where they want to be. But just imagine going into a hostile environment, going into the Colts, and I looked on the internet and I looked on Instagram. They're ready for the Titans to come in there. But what the Tennessee Titans have to do is they have to ignore the noise. They got to play their game. They got to come out and punch Indianapolis in the mouth. Because you better believe, when you got Jeffrey Simmons, you got Quentin Nelson, you know, that plays for the Indianapolis Colts, it's going to be a freaking dogfight. So when you have a dogfight like that and you jump out on them cats early, you take the crowd of it, then now you can do what you're supposed to do and go in there and win this ball game.
Chris, how concerned are you right now with the fact that Terrence Mitchell, who they signed on Wednesday, was out there against Mac Hollins of the Raiders, and that Caleb Farley had a really hard time seeing the field on Sunday?
You know, that's tough, man, because you drafted Caleb Farley to come in here and be a shutdown corner, and you have a guy that they just brought in, and he's playing, and Caleb Farley is sitting on the sidelines. You know, if I'm his coach, I think his defensive back coach is Mitchell, I would pull him to the side and say, you know what? You know, instead of, you know, being critical towards him and say you're not doing your job, right now this dude needs some confidence. And the way you build up confidence is the words that you say to this cat. If you say, man, you know, you're sorry and, you know, you're not doing your job, if this guy gets some confidence, if this guy can say, you know what, even though I haven't played well, I got to figure this thing out, then he can turn this around. And just kind of give an example, a couple of, maybe about 4 years ago, I can't remember, when Derrick Henry was playing terrible, you know, Eddie George came to him and said, listen, you're too big, you're too physical, you're too strong to be running that soft. So I think if somebody, you know, a well-known corner, I don't know, maybe like a Chris Dishman or somebody comes in and sits him down and says, man, you're too big, you're too physical, you're too strong and too fast to be playing like that. So sometimes you need that extra boost. But right now it is disheartening to see a number one draft pick sitting on the sideline and somebody comes in playing your position.
Yeah. Chris, what do you make of the way Derrick Henry ran against the Raiders, and what do you think that means for the offensive line and for Henry going forward?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, to watch him run this week, he was running like he was mad at everybody. He ran with an edge, and, you know, if you kind of look at early, the first couple of runs that he had, you know, those cats didn't want to tackle him, because what he did the weeks before, he was kind of, you know, stopping his feet and, you know, going side to side. It was none of that. He was running through somebody's lips. So when you have Derrick Henry running like that, it opens up so many things. And one thing that it opens up is the play action. We kind of saw that when they, you know, had the running game going well early, that's why Woods was catching those balls over the middle and catching those long passes is because of the play action. And then another thing that is going to help is those receivers are going to start to get one-on-one on the outside. They're going to put 7 and 8 in the box and man-to-man outside, and those guys have to make plays. So when you have the running game and they're doing well, then it just opens up everything. It's kind of like when we were young, we used to say this little saying, KISS. That means keep it simple, stupid. All the Tennessee Titans have to do is keep it simple. I'm not calling them stupid, but I'm just saying keep it simple. Run the ball, play action, and let those guys make plays on the perimeter.
So Chris Sanders called me this weekend. He wants to brag on calling Jacksonville this season. I have no recollection of Chris Sanders saying that Jacksonville was going to be the team to beat the division this year, but apparently Chris is claiming Jacksonville.
Okay, you remember when I said that? It was
no.
Me with TD.
I do not remember it.
That is unbelievable. I thought we were friends.
TD will be on tomorrow. We can ask TD if he remembers you saying, watch out for Jacksonville. I do remember you last year saying, watch out for the Texans. And then Mark Howard sending me a text like week 3 saying that you should be drug tested for telling us to watch out for the Texans. That I do remember.
I'm telling you, I remember, man. I got a good memory. I may got hit a couple of times, but I remember saying that.
He That is Chris Sanders, my man, who will be
my
with
God.
Us on Sunday for the pregame show. Chris,
love
appreciate
guys,
it. We'll see you Sunday, bud.
Appreciate you, man. Bye-bye.
Yep, Chris Sanders joining us on the program. Chris calls me Sunday. He's like, I told you about Jacksonville. I was like, you told me what? He's like, I told you they were going to be the good team this year. I was like, I don't remember you telling me that.
He probably thought it.
I mean, maybe.
And that still counts.
So here is the one thing I will give Chris credit for. Every single season, without fail, Chris says we have to be worried about the worst team in the division. Every year.
Crazy Uncle Chris.
Every year.
To his defense, the Texans did beat the Titans once last year.
They did beat the Titans. That is, in fact, a fair point. So I got what I'm just going to say is bad news. I don't know if I should say bad news. It's a bad sign. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025, a bad sign for the Titans. 615-737-1025. FanDuel Sportsbook is my official sportsbook app. And so you can start week 4 off right with a no-sweat same-game parlay from FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, and my official sportsbook app. It does not matter if you're new to FanDuel or if you already have an account. You'll get free bets back if your Thursday night same-game parlay does not hit. The NFL same-game parlays are a perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout. So you've got the Bengals and the Dolphins, and I got to be honest with you, the Dolphins, Tyreek, Jalen, they are balling, everybody. I mean, they're really, really good. So I would be thinking about those guys. Joe Mixon, Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd, Joe Burrow, Tua. You'll see. Build your own or choose from one of the popular same-game parlays pre-built in FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. Just sign up with the promo code JGM if you don't already have an account. If you already have a FanDuel account, you're all set. Just sign in to see what you've got. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the National Football League. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. 3+ legs, minimum $1 bet required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Your max bet is $5. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.